Blog Talk Radio.
I used to think that I could not go on, and life was nothing but an awful song. But now I know the meaning of true love. I'm leaning on if I just believe it, there's nothing to it. I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. I think about it every night and day. Spread my wings and fly away. I believe I can soar. I see me running through that open door. I believe I can fly. I believe I can fly. Yeah, I was on the verge of breaking down. Sometimes silence can seem so loud. I know it starts inside of me. Oh, oh, if I can see it, then I can be it. If I just believe it, there's nothing to it. I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. Think about it every night and day. Spread my wings and fly away. I believe I can soar. I see me running through that open door. I believe I can fly. I believe I can fly. Oh, I believe I can fly.
Welcome to Keeping It Real with Cindy. As most of you here know, we have a very, very, very special guest tonight. We have Jackie LeBeau. Jackie is thrilled to have been personally selected by Lisa Williams as one of her preferred readers on the site Soul Connections. Jackie's greatest joy is connecting with people, with loved ones in spirit, and opening communication with your animal family. And pretty much that's what we're going to do tonight. Jackie is also an author of children's books. And that's kind of the reason why I played that song, because her children's the book that she wrote is called If I Could Fly. It's filled with animals, magic, and mystery. But Jackie is really, really well known for connecting with our pets. And so I think I'm just going to bring her on. Jackie, are you there?
I'm here. Hello.
Did you lose connection?
I did. So I'm thrilled to be here.
Oh, I saw that you went off, and so I thought, okay, Blog Talk is up to its normal. It does do that sometimes, and I saw people in the chat room, like, going off and coming back on and going off and coming back on.
Oh, okay. So, well, I hope you didn't get nervous.
Oh, no, I didn't. I knew you'd be back. It happens, you know. I'm kind of used to it now, so it doesn't really scare me anymore.
All right, very good, very good. You're very calm.
Yeah, I am. Tonight I am. I'm Chris is in the chat room calling me a pro. Thank you guys in the chat room, by the way, for coming in. I know you could have done a million other things tonight. And by the way, happy holidays to everybody. Sorry, I had to, like, do my kudos to these chat room people. They're just in there going nuts.
Ah, well, you know, I don't watch that, you know, so I don't have that pulled up, so you'll have to tell me if we need to address something there.
Okay, and that's fine. And there are quite a few people in there that are just, right now, they're just spreading the love and joking around a little bit.
Good. I love that.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. I love my chat rooms. Actually, there's a group of us that have radio shows that have similar chat rooms, and some of those are in my chat room right now. And, again, as usual, guys, anybody has a website or a radio show of your own, please feel free. We share in my Blog Talk, so feel free to post those.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. I love that collaborative stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I think, you know, the more light workers we can kind of share, the better.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
I don't have a lot of competition or anything like that in the sense of I don't feel it. I kind of feel like I want to be supportive. And there's some really good friends of mine that are in the chat room right now that have their own radio shows, and they spread such love and light. And so I like them to post their shows in there.
Oh, good. Good. That's great.
So everybody can follow them. But tell me, what have you been up to?
Well, what have I been up to? All kinds of things. I have a lot of things going on this month. It's more from my psychic medium practice. I'm going to be at an event tomorrow night that we're going to be doing lots of quick readings. So that's sort of a first for me. So we'll see how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
And just doing things with the animals, which I love. I actually started out, I sort of connected to spirit when I was a teenager after my grandmother passed. But then I got into animal communication because of an issue I was having with my one Great Pyrenees. And as I got more and more into the animal communication, I was realizing that I was connecting with, you know, animals on the other side. And then, of course, it was like, well, you know, if I can, I'm obviously connecting with them. I'm connecting with their people, too. And it all sort of just blossomed for me.
Oh, my gosh. And, you know, sometimes our pets are like our family members.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
We struggle with losing. I mean, I remember I lost a dog that I had for 16 years, and I had to put her down because she was suffering too badly. And I sobbed. I mean, the vet was holding me.
Oh, yeah. And that's so typical, Cindy, because, I mean, it's like losing a child. You know, for people who don't have children, I can say that. I mean, you know, so that's the way I compare it because, you know, they are our children. I mean, right now I have 5 wonderful dogs.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, and they're big beauties. I have 3 golden retrievers, a Great Pyrenees, and a Newfoundland.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, yeah, so I have,
and
I,
you know,
a lot of
I
dogs.
I love big dogs.
Oh, I do too. I do too.
they're my favorites. Are the bigger the dog, but like our family always had huskies.
Mhm.
And I absolutely loved them. And my dog was given to me because some people needed to get rid of her, and she was a cocker spaniel, but still, you know, a fairly big dog.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, but now that we've moved into this house, which is in the middle of nowhere, a bunch of cats adopted me that were here.
Ah.
And, yeah, they decided I was going to be their new mom.
Uh-huh.
And so when my dog died, I thought, you know, we travel so much, I'm not going to get any more pets. And, you know, we move in here, and I had just a slew of them. But I found homes for the ones that weren't too feral,
mm-hmm.
but some of them were too feral to, there was just no way. It took me, gosh, almost a year, I guess 9 months, just to get them to trust me.
Yeah.
And they didn't trust anyone else. And so it was basically just taking care of the feral cats until their time came.
Yeah, it's amazing to me how, like you said, they adopted you. I mean, animals pick us. You know, we always are thinking we're picking them, but in truth, they pick us.
Mm-hmm.
And they always come into our lives for a purpose. Haven't you found that to be true, Cindy?
Mm-hmm. They
yeah.
do. You know, even these cats that came with the house, they came into my life at the perfect time. And there were spirits in my house when we bought it. And so they were kind of my heads up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they told me, you know, when we first moved in here, which was like 10 years ago, but, you know, we've taken care of pretty much that problem with the spirits, but I still have the cat, the one that I ended up keeping. My son took one, and then there were a couple of outdoor cats that were really old already and pretty beaten up from being feral, and they knew love before they died, though.
Yeah. Yeah, how sweet is that? How sweet is
that? I know. I think the same thing. It's like, I just hope that all of these feral animals find someone that can love them because they're basically just terrified of people. And once they get to know you, I mean, they are the one that I had. I named him Fat Cat because he was swollen up horribly. When I first met him, and I took care of him the best that I could, and he ended up, you know, he looked pretty good. He was like in good health or fairly good health, and he was he ended up dying, but he was already really, really old. But he did learn love.
Yeah.
You know, he couldn't get enough love at the end. It was like if I was out there. He wanted to climb. He didn't understand picking up or any of that kind of thing. So it was more me sitting on the ground and him coming over and getting in my lap. But
Right. Don't pick me up, but I'll come up to you.
Well, and see, that's the thing a lot of people don't understand about feral cats. You can't just go over and pick them up because they've never experienced that. And, you know, even I let him in the house one cold winter day and he didn't realize what a ceiling was. It was hilarious to watch.
Oh, my gosh.
He's, you know, wondering, where's the sky? You know,
right,
what is that?
He's in a big box. He's in a big box.
I know. But you have, like, your own technique for teaching us how we can communicate with our own animals, both alive and...
Yeah. And it's not a unique technique. And that's the one thing that I want to get across to everybody who's listening. I mean, the great news is you're already doing it. You know, you're already doing it. And it's something that you've been doing every day of your life. You just don't know it. You know, you don't think about it, you know, in that light. And actually, you know, we all did it as kids. And you might remember, you know, at a time, you know, saying to your parents, you know, like, you know, the doggy said this or my cat said that. And, you know, adults tend to shut that off because, you know, they don't get it, a lot of them. And, you know, they don't want you to sound silly to other people, but you were getting it. And then as you get older, you tend to sort of turn it off, but you can turn it back on. Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of it for everybody. And
how would you suggest that people be able to turn it back on again?
Okay. Well, one thing I like to tell people, and this is something one of my teachers taught me. I mean, she calls it heart to heart. And I like people to think about communicating with their animals from that aspect, that you're communicating from your heart. And if you think about a person and an animal, you know, it's sort of like a wheel. You've got the mental part and the spiritual part and, you know, the emotional part. But what pulls all those things together is the heart. So the more you can connect with somebody directly, heart to heart, you're pulling in all those different forms of communication, and it makes it much stronger. So I remind people, telepathy is really what you're doing. I mean, you're communicating through telepathy, and it's a transfer of energy. So and you're going to get things. It's really a practice focus. So it's sort of like learning a different language. So if you were learning to speak Spanish or French or Russian, you know, you wouldn't expect to be able to do that, like, you know, right away. You know, it takes time and it takes practice. And the only difference between me and, you know, you and your listeners are I'm just more practiced. I spent more time practicing it. So I try to remind people that to not get discouraged, you know, if they don't think they're getting it right away. And I'll be the first one to tell you that when I went to my first class, I actually took a class to start. I've taken a number of classes and advanced classes, but I wasn't getting it. And I was really upset about it because I really wanted to get it. And the way I got started with all this is my first Great Pyrenees was a rescue guy. We got him at, he was a year old. And when he came to us, he was, anytime we left the house, he would pull down anything that was on the kitchen counter, anything that was on a table, you know, so you can imagine, you know, there were things that got broken, but he wasn't really trying to destroy anything. He was just so distraught about us leaving. And that's how we sort of, I said, I found out about animal communicators, and I thought, oh, I've got to talk to somebody and find out what's going on with Bear. His name was Bear. And, you know, see if we can help him through this process. So that's I sort of lost my train of thought there, but that's how we got started in animal communication. And it was a whole new thing for me. And then as we were taking classes, I would be like, well, she could do it. And I know this can work because we had such a good reaction with the information that we got with Bear. But I didn't think that I could do it. I thought it was something, you know, only special people could do or something like that, that I just wasn't getting it. And what I realized was in my one class, it was at an animal shelter. And we would go talk to different animals. And there was a cat room. And, you know, dogs were in different areas and the horses. And you know, I just wasn't getting anything, and I got so upset. I went back to the main classroom, and I thought, all right, I'm just going to sit in here. And the teacher said, just relax, you know, just sit in here and relax. So I thought, all right, you know, I just sort of made up my mind that this just wasn't going to happen for me, so I might as well just, you know, sit here and relax. Well, sure enough, all this stuff started coming in. And I realized, and I think that's the main point I want to get across to everybody, is you can try too hard. Like, I wanted it so bad. I wanted to be able to do it, you know, with Bear, you know, so that I could keep helping him and that, you know, the other communicator was able to do it. So I knew Bear could do it. And the harder you try, the more elusive it is. So the one thing you have to keep in mind as you're practicing, and you know, it's the same thing from a spiritual viewpoint when you're trying to connect with spirit. Sometimes you can be putting up those roadblocks by the effort that you're putting into it. You're not letting yourself just be open. And it's the same way with the animals. So the first thing I tell people is you have to learn to close down that monkey mind, all that chatter in our heads, which is the hardest part. So I know, I'm sure there's people here who meditate and things like that, and sometimes it's really, really hard. It's not. It sounds easy to say, well, just, you know, open your mind and, you know, stop thinking about, you know, all these random thoughts, but it's not that easy. And that's so important because, you know, as we know, humans can have like 40,000 thoughts a day. Well, if you think about that, like, think about that from a telephone viewpoint. You know, if your animal's trying to get in touch with you and he's ringing you up, you've got 40,000 thoughts running through your mind that day. You know, the line's busy.
Yeah.
You know, the line's just busy, and, you know, your animal can't get through. And so one of the most important things that you can do is learn to quiet your mind, and especially as you're learning to talk to your animals. And just like anything with meditation, you know, if you can start out your morning before you really get into your day and you start, you know, using your mind and you're thinking about things and, you know, do a little meditation, or if meditation isn't the thing that works for you, you know, experiment with different things. Maybe it's just getting outside and taking a walk with your dog. You know, something that relaxes you and opens you up. So that's the first thing to start with, you know, as you're working with your animals, and to get used to that, and so that, you know, the line's not busy when they're trying to get through. And then realizing that communication is going to come to you in a number of ways, and each person is going to be different. So what works best for me may not be the best track for you, Cindy, or for one of our listenings. It depends on the person. Now, I'm clairvoyant, so I'm very much a visual gal, you know, and I see images really well. And so that's one of the things that works best for me with animals. So when I'm talking to an animal, you know, I might be asking them what's their favorite thing to do. And they'll show me what they're doing. Like, they might show me, you know, playing ball. They might show me an agility run, you know, something that they do. So they'll show me pictures, you know, and, you know, that's one of the main things I get from them. People that are more verbal, you know, may do better with just getting words. And it's just like with spirit. You know, you may get one word, you may get a whole sentence or a whole paragraph. You know, depending on, you know, what works best for the animal too. But you have to think about what is your best way of receiving information. It also could be feelings. You know, you could be just like clairsentient. You could get a strong feeling from an animal. You might have an animal who is feeling really sad or upset about something. I mean, they have emotions just like we do, just like humans do. They have every single emotion that we have. So as you're checking in with an animal, if all of a sudden you get this sense of sadness that just comes over you, you know, it could be coming from that animal if there's no reason for that to come up for you. Or you could get a pain. You know, and how I usually tell myself whether it's mine or the animals, if it's fleeting, if it comes and then it goes, I know that that wasn't my thing. You know, that they were sending me that to tell me what's going on in their life. So there's all these different ways that information can come into us, and it really depends on, you know, the type of person you are and what works for you best. So there's not one right way. You know, everything is different for each person. So it's really finding that. Yeah, and I like that too, because I like people to know it's, you know, you may do it different than I do it, but you may do it just as well. I mean, everybody does it their own way, and that's what works for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so whether
and most people can click right into that. Sorry to interrupt you, but as you were talking, most people know what their stronger points are. You know,
right.
If you dig inside of yourself, you know, am I a good listener? Do I pay attention to, you know, signs like pictures and things like that? There's something inside of each person that helps them. And also, I love this. I absolutely, if you're a pet owner, you know that animals have every emotion that we have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everyone.
And so that, to me also, this cat that I ended up taking in, you can see those emotions when she will pretty much just come right out and tell me. She won't do that for Wayne, for my husband.
Mm-hmm.
She'll do it for me, though, in the sense of her actions. You know, so I don't usually have to wonder what she's thinking, because she's very verbal, in the sense of not really verbal, but she reacts. And,
right.
And she'll do a certain thing to let me know what's going on. And I guess I've always paid attention. And so, you know how some animals have their favorite owners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, sure. It's just like when you have a lot of animals, sometimes you have ones that you are closer to than others.
Right. And your husband or kids or whatever.
Yeah, I always say, well, you know, she's a daddy's girl.
Oh, yeah, see, I do that too. And I'll say that when the cat goes over, and she will once in a while go over to Wayne, and I'll say, oh, you big daddy's girl. But generally speaking, she's not. But so pretty much what you're saying is hone into whatever skill set you personally have and use that while quieting your mind, and pay attention, and your animal will tell you exactly what you need to know.
Yeah, and the pay attention thing, and I'm glad you said that way, Cindy, because that's the other hard thing for people, particularly when you get started, because everybody says the same thing. It feels like it's just my own self that I'm talking to myself. It feels like I'm making it up. Yeah, we all do that. It just feels like I'm making it up. Well, of course it does, because it's so natural, because we've been doing it all along. It doesn't feel real different. So if you're looking for that lightning bolt to come down, like something's real different, you know, it's not going to be. It's very subtle. And you have to have trust, you know, that you are actually getting this from your animal. So you have to just give into that and believe. You have to start believing in yourself and believing in what you're feeling and what you're getting. It's the most important thing and the hardest thing for people to do, particularly when they're getting started.
Well, as you're saying that, my thought is if you actually believe it, and if you aren't sure, but you trust in it and you follow through with what it is that you're trusting in, and you do this enough, then suddenly it's not going to be as difficult as it was.
Yeah.
Because you're going to slowly trust in yourself more and more.
Absolutely, and that's the key thing. The more you practice, the more you're going to understand that you are getting it, because you will have had the opportunity to keep validating what you're getting. You know, and that's the thing that really takes people you know, to that next step. When they get something that they can validate, then they know. They're not guessing, am I making this up? They know that it's real. You know, it's absolutely. And then I can tell you a story about that. When I first, wasn't long after I had been doing this, I actually was doing a animal communication for a gal that worked at our township, and she had a cockatiel. And I have to tell you, I knew nothing about birds, you know. So, I mean, I had no knowledge whatsoever, you know. But, you know, this you know, bird was like major in her life. And the bird was having, he was a feather picker, which I have found out, you know, over the years that, you know, that's a common problem for some birds. And so she finally was trying to get in touch with me. And that's the other thing you'll find is like people, when they don't know where else to turn, that's when they finally turn to the animal communicator. But she didn't know what else to do for this bird. So I said, okay, so I'm getting in touch. The bird's name was Emmett. So I'm talking to Emmett. And a lot of times what I like to do, it's like I like to think of it just like you're having a conversation with a person. So I try to come in, you know, and the first thing I always do with an animal is, you know, I introduce myself and I tell them who I am. And most of the time, you know, that their person asked me to talk to them, and I ask them, are they willing to talk to me? You know, I just don't make that assumption. And that usually, you know, opens the door, you know, and gets things started. You know, so I always start with that. So I'm just making chit-chat with Emmett. And I, you know, and I just ask him, you know, instead of just getting right to the physical stuff, which, you know, sometimes puts anybody on edge, you know, I'm asking him about, you know, what he likes, you know, about, you know, his cage. And, you know, he's telling me about, you know, his toys and that he was upset that he had this favorite toy that he didn't have anymore, and he didn't know why and what happened to his toy. And he actually described this toy to me. You know, he told me it was about the diameter of a pencil, and he's showing me this toy about 4 inches, and it's multicolored. And so he described this toy, so I had that. He also told me that he didn't like what she was using to clean his cage. You know, that I think it would, the smell, you know, bothered him. And he didn't like that. And I forget off the top of my head some of the other things, you know, that the toy was major. And then in the end, I mean, so we were chit-chatting a little bit, and I was asking him about the feathers and, you know, did he want another bird? You know, was that one of the problems? He was lonely. So we were covering all the little things that might contribute to that. And I asked him if he had anything else that he wanted to tell Joy, his owner. And he said, well, she thinks she lives with a boy, but she doesn't. And I go, what? And inside I'm going, what?
Yeah. Now, how do you, yeah.
Now, and so I'm thinking, all right, I'm thinking, wouldn't she know whether it's a boy? Because, yeah, I'm thinking, all right, I'm used to dogs. You know, it's like, you roll them over, you know, whether it's a boy or a girl.
Exactly.
You know, and I'm like, wouldn't she know this? And I'm thinking, she's going to think I'm just loony, you know. So yeah. I get her back on the phone. And so I'm telling her all this other good stuff. And I said, then he said this last thing. And I saved it to the end. And I said it. And, you know, she didn't say anything for a minute. And then she just went on and said something else. And I thought, oh, God, she just thinks I'm crazy, you know. So believe it or not, I guess 3 years later, I get this phone call from her, and she said, I just had to call you. She said, we took Emmett to a specialist because he was having some other problems, and the specialist did DNA testing. And I come to find out that's how you actually can confirm the sex of a bird.
Oh,
and
my
gosh. And guess what? Emmett is a girl.
Okay, that is funny.
So that was major validation, because I can tell you all along I'm thinking, this lady's going to think I'm crazy because I'm telling her her bird is a girl. And I said, Joy, I said, I was wondering why you didn't say anything about that. And she says, well, I thought Emmett was talking about the other bird we had just got. We had just gotten another bird to keep him company, thinking that would help him. And the other bird, I thought, well, they must have sexed the other bird wrong, and he's telling me his new bird friend isn't a boy, it's a girl. And she said, because we thought we had two boys. So she never, all along, I mean, I knew Emmett was telling me he was a girl, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And but she thought it was something else, so she was telling me so. I mean, that was like major validation. So.
That's a cool story.
Yeah, that was one of the funniest stories that I've had, because I was like, and the other thing I want to say to people about that is, I was very hesitant to tell her what he said. And I will tell you that they tried changing his name to Emily, but it just wasn't working. So even though it's a female, they're still calling her Emmett. But the thing about that I wanted to point out is our job, just as with a psychic medium, our job is to voice what we get. So whatever the animal tells you, you need to pass that on, because that's our job. That's what we're supposed to do. You know, we are passing on the information. And I hesitated to say that because I really thought she was going to think I was crazy. And I remembered one of my favorite teachers said to me, you have to pass on everything the animal gives you, because it may be meaningless to you, it may sound weird, she said, I can guarantee you, sooner or later, it's going to make sense to the person, you know, or they might get it right away, she said so, but she said, that's your job, and do it. So anybody out there, as you do this, and as you're doubting yourself and what you're getting, and was that real, you know, just speak it. Just speak it and put it out there, because it could be really valuable. And it's what the animal wanted to tell their person.
Mm-hmm. Now, you could even do this if you have an animal like you were speaking of earlier in the show that is misbehaving. You can communicate with them to find out what is causing that to happen. And then you can use your communication to help the animal stop.
Yes. Now, I'm gonna just clarify that into that. I always remind people who come to me with behavior issues, sometimes you can find out why they're doing that, or you can tell them you don't want them to do that anymore. But it's sort of like telling, you know, an 8-year-old kid, you know, don't do that anymore. Now, sometimes they won't do that anymore, and other times they're going to still do it. So they still have free will, just like we as people have free will. So it, just because you tell them you don't want them to do that is no guarantee they're going to stop. You know, so but a lot of times what is really valuable in behavior issues is gaining a firm understanding of what's going on from the animal's perspective, because it's not always what appears on the surface. I'll give you an example, and this is something that was an event that happened to one of the people that I know that does animal communication. They had a dog, and the dog was actually getting a little, they were starting to worry about it. It was starting to sort of get nippy and stuff. And it was also having some issues where every time they would be cooking, this dog would run to the bathroom and it would wrap itself like around the toilet bowl.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. This was bizarre behavior, you know.
Yeah, I'm saying that.
The other thing it would do is any paper that was laying around, like on the coffee table or anything, it would just, like, eat all this paper, you know. And then, again, of course, it was getting almost, you know, a little, you know, not vicious, but it was like, you know, they were getting concerned, like it was seemed like it was going to bite them. So they were, like, had no idea what was going on. So in talking to the dog, the first thing the dog said is, "Don't touch me." I said, "Okay, you know, all right, we respect that. We're not going to touch." And sort of asked, "What? Tell me, please explain to me what happens when your people are in the kitchen making food." And the dog said, "The smell of the food, particularly the meat, made the dog so nauseous, and it would get so sick in its stomach, it felt like its stomach was just burning. And
it would go
to the toilet to, I mean, you know how that it's cold, you know, and would wrap itself around there to try to cool the burning. And the other thing it did is it was using the paper to soak up this burning in its stomach." You know, so she said, you know, you need to take the dog to the vet. You know, there's something seriously going on here. And what they found out is the dog was having such strong liver issues that's what was happening, is it was so full of bile, and the bile was just like eating away at the stomach. You know, it was just, it didn't have the right, you know, balance. And his stomach was just like getting eaten up. And so this dog was just, all these things, these behavior things the dog was doing was just to help itself go through this physical issue it was having from a medical standpoint. So, I mean, it's amazing how smart animals are and what they do to counteract an issue. But there again, you know, here's something going on with the dog, and because you were able to communicate with the dog, you could understand why it was doing the things it was doing.
Bizarre behavior, right?
Yeah, and, bizarre behavior.
I have a, I've already talked about, I have a cat that nobody believes me when I say this, but from the beginning, when I first got her, I guess in a sense had that communication with her of the do's and don'ts.
Mm-hmm.
And she owned me because some neighbors wanted to take her in, but every time they tried, she would walk the inside perimeter of their house just screaming, wanting out. And when I moved in here, she would sit in the tree. She was really petite, and she's not anymore, but she would sit in the tree in the front yard. And as soon as I would get here, because we had to work on the house for a while before we bought it, so we would come on the weekends, she would run as fast as she could out of that tree and jump on my back before I went into the house. And I thought, you know, first of all, it was painful because I've got claws going up my back. But it was, she was terrified, and I'm assuming because she was getting beaten up or, you know, whatever, being in the wild all the time. And yet she wouldn't live with these other people. They tried to take her in, and she wouldn't go there. Well, when I first brought her in to the house, I kind of set up these rules, and no one ever believes me. But I have a cat that does not get on the tabletops, does not get on the countertops. I could leave food on the counter overnight, and my cat will not touch it. All of these things that are not usual for cats, my cat does. And so I think there was a communication with us prior to, you know, even really getting her. It was like she owned me, I didn't own her. But we had to set these rules up because I said, not going to happen, you're not getting on the countertops. And it's not that I don't love my animal, and she knows it. You know,
but
it's
there's
just,
boundaries.
There's boundaries. And so, you know, she can get on, and it's funny because there's certain pieces of furniture that she knows she's allowed on,
mm-hmm.
and she knows there's others that she's not, and she never breaks those rules.
Oh, I love that.
I know. And so, you know, pretty much I think people can do this if they want to do it, but for me, I didn't have to reinforce very much because I just set the rule from the beginning. But I think a big part of trying to help them is kind of like raising a kid. If you tell them, yes one time and no the next.
Right. You have to be consistent.
Yeah. They get confused.
Yeah. And it's also that you set that expectation that that was what you were expecting. And so in your mind, you were seeing her do what you wanted her to do.
Exactly. And I think she must have known that because really and truly she does not get on. Actually, the only furniture she's allowed on is the bed up here, and there's a bench right here next to my desk that I allow her on, and then she is allowed on the futon, but she's not allowed on any tabletops and she never does it. But I hate to say this, we've got some callers, and we've only got less than 15 minutes left in the shows.
Uh-huh.
Do you think we could take a couple of callers?
Sure.
And guys, callers, we're not going to cut you off, but we're going to try to make it short and sweet so we can get as many in as possible before we have to go off air. And the first one, I pre-screened the first two. So the first one is Angela. Angela, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, Angela.
Hi.
How are you tonight?
I'm doing good.
I'm doing good. What was your question?
Do you have a question?
Well, we have a dog who passed about 3 or 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we think that he is communicating with our dogs that we have now.
Mm-hmm.
And, but, I mean, we just have never really been sure.
Okay.
And I had put a picture up on my Facebook page a couple months ago, and I think it was Cindy who saw his face in the picture. There was a picture of our three dogs that we have now, and she was positive that she saw a picture, and everyone else, of course, you know, saw it too. And just wondering if he really is still with us.
Okay. All right. Was he like a medium-sized dog?
Yeah. Yes,
okay.
He was.
Dark color?
Yes, yeah, sort of.
Okay. Okay. All right. Longish hair?
Yes.
Okay. All right. All right. Sort of a, but not necessarily a smooth coat.
No.
Okay. Because no, I'm getting
kind of like a collie. He wasn't a collie. He was a Belgian Treburen. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Oh, I don't know. I have never heard of that.
No. It's they look like a shepherd, but with long hair like a collie.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Well. All right, so I definitely see his face, too, and I think he's definitely still with you. Now, he comes and goes. You know, he's not there all the time. So let me see. So was he sort of like, were your other dogs there with him before he passed?
No.
So he didn't know them before, right?
No, he didn't.
Okay. So, because he's telling me he sort of like keeps them together. It's almost like, I don't think he's a herding type dog, but it's sort of like he's showing me like he keeps them together.
Yeah. Well, no, the breed is a herding breed.
Oh,
it
is?
A working breed. Yeah.
What was the name of the breed?
They do a lot of... They also do a lot of work with the security, like TSA and all that, you know, with police departments and the military.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. What was the name of the breed again?
Belgian Treburen.
Treburen. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, because that's what he was showing me, that he's herding them together.
He used to herd the cats, too.
Oh. Well, so he...
Especially when I fostered.
Oh, so he's sort of seeing that he feels like he still has a job to do with you, helping with your three new dogs, you know, and keeping all the animals together. And something So, Angela, are you married?
Yes.
Because he's saying something about your husband, I think. Was he very close with your husband?
He's the reason I married my husband.
Ah. Because he's talking about your husband, you know. So there's a strong pull there as well, and he wanted. Okay. So does your husband feel him? Because he's around your husband a lot.
He didn't like men. I got him when I was with my ex-husband, and he hated my ex.
Mm-hmm.
And when I met my current husband, we met on a blind date, and he was told not to worry about whether or not my family liked him. He was told to worry about whether or not the dog liked him, because if the dog didn't like him, there was not going to be a second date.
And dogs know, so that's how you knew too, wasn't it?
And that's how I knew, and he was the only one I trusted. I didn't trust myself or anyone else. And he took to Scott immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah.
And Scott sort of spoiled him and you know, gave him treats that I didn't give him, and you know, that kind of
thing. Oh yeah. He was showing me that. He was showing me that. So he would sneak him things, right?
Yeah, he stole my husband's sub the one day.
All right. So no, he is definitely with you. What was his name? Again?
His name was Mr. Spike.
Mr. Spike.
Yeah.
I love that. Well, so, you know, Angela, so what a loving thing. So he's with you, and he's helping you with your three dogs now. And is one of the three you have now, he's showing me something that looks like a corgi, like shorter legs.
They're all chihuahuas. One of them's a half chihuahua, half dachshund.
Ah, well, that's probably what I'm getting there, because I'm seeing this low to the ground thing, and I'm thinking,
yeah.
I don't know what that is, but okay, all right. Well, that's good. Well, how nice. I'm so happy for you to know that he's still there with you.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Angela. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Thanks,
have
Angela.
A good evening. Bye, Cindy.
All right. Bye-bye. Love you.
Love you, girl. Bye.
I know, Ann.
Nice.
Yeah. And I have to ask you, do you have plans afterwards, or can you stay over for about 10 minutes?
I can stay for about 10 minutes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good, because we only have a few callers.
Okay.
But our next caller is another person that comes to my shows quite a bit, and her name is Mary. Mary, are you there?
Yep.
Hi, Mary.
Hi. I lost a couple dogs last year. I wondered if they were around me.
Okay. Okay. Was one a bigger dog?
No, they were both. Well, I've lost a lot of dogs, but the ones I lost last year were little.
Okay. But there's a bigger dog around you for sure right now.
Okay.
Okay, it's, I would say it has a lot of black in it. Does that sound familiar?
I've had black dogs, yeah.
Okay, because this is showing me a gray face, so I'm thinking it was just older, but, and this dog is about, it's a medium-sized dog.
Could that be a childhood dog?
It could be. It could be. I think it's been with you for a while. Yeah, I think it definitely could be. It's this dog really is with you a lot. It's almost like a protector dog for you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it really watches your energy and people entering your space. It's sort of a watchdog personality, but it's sort of like I think it's a male dog, and he's saying it's my job. He's saying it's my job. So I'm going to ask him if he'll let us see if there's anybody else there who wants to talk to you.
Okay.
All right. So So these two little dogs, were they brown?
One was tan and brown spots.
Okay. All right. And short hair?
Hairless.
Hairless.
One was a Chinese crested.
Okay.
So he had
some
hair on his head.
All right. Because I was seeing, like, it looked like shaved, you know? So I guess
yes.
That would be like hairless. I haven't really seen a hairless dog. All right, so.
The other one was a ugly gray color, hairless.
Okay. All right. I see him now, too. All right, so they are, did they sleep with you?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Under the covers.
All right, because they're showing me the bed. They're showing me the bed, and all right, so I'm thinking they are still there with you some nights.
Okay.
All right, so did they sleep under the covers?
Yeah, they had to.
Okay.
Under the covers, just so, certain way.
Okay, all right, because that's what they're showing me. So that was like their favorite thing. So they are definitely still there, Mary, and you can you will sense them when you're in bed, you know, and if you want to talk to them, that would be a good time for you to reach out and, you know, just say hello and tell them you miss them too and you're happy that they're there still snuggling with you.
Okay, yeah, I do that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mary, you've already felt them there in your bed. Your bed has had movement or something, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I don't know why, but I got that as.
Yeah, I do. I feel the bed will just, like they're jumping up.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. Well, then you know that. That was so wonderful.
Okay, that's cool.
Thanks, Mary.
All right,
thanks for calling, Mary.
Uh-huh.
Bye. Bye-bye. All right, so we're going to stay a couple of minutes over time to take a couple of more calls, guys, because there's only about 2 minutes left in the show, almost three. But I wanted to thank everybody for coming here, and I'm going to say, even though Jackie is staying, I'm going to say thank you, Jackie. And also, you can find Jackie. I know I've put it into the chat room several times, but you can find Jackie at www.jacquilebeau.com. That's jackielebeau.com. That's her website. So if you're interested in getting a reading, or she also has a Facebook page.
I do.
You want to tell them about your Facebook page?
I do. I put things on there about animals as well as, you know, my psychic medium practice. And you're the Facebook queen, Cindy.
I know.
I guess it's just facebook.com/JackieLebeau. It's French, guys.
Yeah.
So
you have a fan site too, don't you?
Yes. Yes, I do.
What's that one called? It's Jackie Lebeau Psychic Medium?
I think it's Psychic Medium. I guess it's just, it might be Psychic Medium and Animal Communicator.
Okay.
Oh, I'm
if you put Jackie Lebeau into the search engine, you'll find her on Facebook.
Yeah, I think both things will pop up that you'll be able to find it. I should get better at this stuff, Cindy. I need lessons.
That's okay. We've got 60 seconds left on air. Again, thank you all in the chat room.
And thank
I know
you
you're
so
not,
much for having me.
Not
going
to be able to hear us here in a few minutes. And I wanted to, again, tell all of you that have radio shows or websites that are in the chat room currently, please post them so that everybody can link up with you. They can listen to your shows, too. Chris, I know you're there. Put yours in. Anybody that's in there that has a show, please feel free. Okay, our next caller is a 314 area code, and so I'm going to bring them on. And we don't have very many more, Jackie.
Okay.
314-691.
That's me, Cindy. Kim.
Oh,
Dave's
hi,
neighbor.
Kim.
Hi.
Hi, Kim. Didn't know it was you.
That's all right.
Hi, Kim.
But did you have a question
hi.
For Jackie?
I did. I rescue dogs, and I've always had dogs and cats. But there's one in particular that was just absolutely the love of my life. And so I'm just wondering what you can tell me about.
Okay. So, Kim, is this dog no longer with you?
No, she's not. She's
okay.
been gone about 3 years. Well,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Can you give me her name?
Chloe.
Chloe. Okay. And if you can give me a little bit more about her, it helps me pull her in. Is was she a mixed breed or?
Nope, she was not. She was a little Maltese.
A Maltese.
And she was deaf.
Okay.
And I got her because she was abused by some other people, and my sister took her. And then my sister got pregnant and had a baby.
And then
and
you got her back.
Well, because she was deaf, my nephew, when he got to where he could walk, she was sleeping one day on the couch, and he walked up and grabbed her.
Yeah,
and she spun around and kind of nipped at him. She didn't bite him, but
yeah.
So then she got to come with me.
Okay. All right. Let me see. Let me connect with her. Okay. Okay. So even though she came to you from an abusive situation, I'm sensing a lot of joy in this dog. Would you say her personality was pretty vibrant?
Oh yeah, very much so.
Okay, all right, because that's what I'm getting. Very outgoing, just full of love. All right, this is really just a lovely little thing. Okay, so let's see. All right, so she does want you to know that she misses you. Did you take her for walks?
Some, not a whole lot.
Okay, she was mostly inside the house.
She wasn't big on exercise.
Okay, so she was a house puppy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay, all right.
I mean, every time I was outside, she was outside.
Okay, all right.
You know.
Did she, I don't know what kind of home you have, but do you have like a room that you hang out in a lot that's sort of, is that downstairs or even like a lower level, a basement room?
No, not really.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I've got a little house and we're mainly on the main floor. I'm mainly in the living room.
All right. So she's showing me steps. Is it Do you have steps, or is it a rancher?
I do have steps, but she would not. She would go up the steps, but she would not go down.
Oh, interesting.
So if I went downstairs, she would sit at the top of the steps and wait for me.
Right. All right.
If I carried her down, she'd come up, but she would not go down.
Oh, interesting. So steps was a major thing for her.
Yeah.
Okay, because I'm thinking, why are you showing me steps? All right, so... All right, so she wants you to know that there are no steps in heaven.
Well, that's good. That's good. I'm glad to hear that.
I love that. There's no steps over here. All right, so she's over there. All right, she's actually with, I would say it was a child. Were there any children that you know that are on the other side that she would have known?
No.
It's a little boy. She's hooked up with a little boy on the other side.
She tried to bite a little boy, but he's still here.
Yeah. But I'm thinking this is... No, this is on the other side. So she's
So she started, found her a little boy, huh?
Yeah, she found a little boy, and she's, oh. So this little boy is carrying her around, and he just, you know, like how you see somebody, like, holding an animal, and they're just sort of, like, back and forth, like, you know, they just love this, you know, little, and
uh-huh.
That's what he's doing with her. So he just loves her to death. And,
well,
yeah, and she's very happy. She's very happy.
Good.
And so she wanted you to know that she has somebody. She wanted you to know to see him, too, that she has somebody with her over there.
Well, good.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, it's sort of like a match made in heaven for the two of them.
Well, good. I'm glad.
He really needed the love that she's giving him as well.
Well, good.
Yeah, so
okay.
Anyway. Okay.
Well, great. Well, thanks so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Kim. Thanks
okay.
for calling.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye, Cindy.
Thanks, Kim.
All right. See you later, honey.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Well, that was it. The other caller didn't, had just lost her dog. I kind of muted myself while you were talking.
Mm-hmm.
And the last caller wasn't ready because her baby just left and she was afraid of crying. So, so I'm sending some love out to that caller if they're still listening. And so I think we covered everybody, which is really cool. I love it when that happens.
Oh, cool. That's cool.
I know.
That's cool. Well, it's always so fun to talk about animals. I mean, there's so many stories, you know, that I can tell you about, you know, different animals and horses and, you know, and dogs particularly, you know, animals that are at that end of life stage and people are having to make those tough decisions.
Right.
I get a lot of calls with that, and I have some interesting stories about that. So it's fun, and I'm sure we could come up with more stories, you know, if you ever want to do something again.
Oh, sure. Actually, I was even thinking that now that we've used your animal communicating skills, that maybe I'll have you back on for your psychic mediumship skills.
Okay, that'd be great, Cindy. I'd love that.
We have, I have quite a few of the people from Lisa's graduation.
Yes, I know. I keep seeing these names and saying, oh, all these kids are in my class. All these.
I know.
Debbie's coming up, and I think Shelley's coming on, and of course you have Christina, and yeah.
And
so
Gail's coming.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I just like wrote that down. I was like, okay, what is going on? Because I've had Robinette, Malia, Chris, Shelley, Jackie, Lisa Fox, Kay, Leanne, Gail, and you.
It's like a reunion.
Yeah. And so, and then I also had Lynn and Melissa Havanor and Paige.
Oh, my gosh. But Leanne's great because everybody can help each other.
I know. I love it. And you know what I really love is the way that all of you, and I'm going to let you go because we're in overtime for you, but what I love is the way that you all support one another so much.
Yeah.
I think that's something that, you know, I've always said there's enough spirit for everybody and some left over.
Yeah.
And so, you know, why the spirits are going to go to, in my mind, who it is they feel connected to anyway.
Right. It's right. It's like how they, you know, it's like the best connection for them. But it's true. It's like, you know, there's enough dead people to go around.
Oh, easily.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, and so that's why I always like to share, and I have that rule on my radio show that, you know, any of the talk show hosts that are, you know, in my chat room are allowed to share their websites, or, you know, if they're mediums or psychics, they can share their websites, radio shows, all of that, because I think we need to spread more love.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think the more collaborative we are with each other, I mean, that's what sends it out, you know? It's like that opens that channel for everybody else to collaborate.
Right. I completely agree. I want to thank you so much for coming because this was absolutely amazing. especially the part you helping teach people how they can do this on their own. You know,
yeah,
I think
there's some other things I could do with that too. I should have been a little more organized with that, but
but invaluable.
Yeah, and that was so important for me too, Cindy, because I like for people to understand that this isn't mumbo jumbo. It isn't something that only certain people can do. It's something everybody can do. It's like learning Spanish. We can all learn Spanish. You know, it's just practice and opening yourself up to it. And, you know, so it's nice to have a forum to be able to tell people you can do this.
Right. And I love that, too. It's just the sharing. And, you know, that's kind of my genre is I like being on the sidelines and bringing other people into the spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
I
nice.
Think that's something good for everybody, you know, so you don't always have to be the one in the spotlight because I really struggle with that.
Well, you do. You don't seem that way. You do very good.
Well, I do good when I have someone else that I can bring forward. Mm. But when I am on my own, you can hear my nervousness in my voice. I mean,
you don't sound that way at all. You sound very comfortable.
Well, I've done some shows now, so I'm kind of getting used to this, but, you know, I prefer to bring people on that can help others, and so that's what I'm trying to do, and, you know, there's so many people out there struggling, and I just, my passion is to make sure people understand they're not alone. You know?
Yeah, that's nice, Cindy. You do a wonderful job for people, and your show is great, so, it must make you feel good that you're able to do that.
It does. You know, it feels like a blessing. But I'm going to let you get, since I've kept you over time.
Well, thank you again. And let me know if you want to do it again. I'd be happy to come back on. So, you know, just, you know, give me a ring. And, you know, I'm so Facebook illiterate. I mean, you know that already.
But, you know, we will do another show.
I think
we should do another show, and I probably will call you, and we can do one, you know, maybe mixed, where we can do both mediumship, psychic mediumship, and animal communication.
Well, it's interesting because I'll tell you, yeah, we can just do both because I get a lot of animals that come through, you know, when I do the mediumship because it's amazing to me, and I guess because it's because I'm so tuned to that. You know, so I usually get animals when I'm doing my mediumship, too.
Yeah. And, you know, we can, this little overtime thing, actually, I thought I should tell you, people will be able to hear this in archives.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, so, you know, the recording stopped at 8 my time, but it goes on. So anybody that listens to this in archives, thank you for listening. And they will be able to hear what we're saying.
Okay.
You know, that the last couple of readings that you did.
Oh, okay, great.
And, yeah, so anyway, thank you again so much.
Okay, Cindy.
And we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.